God, what is this? Quickly, last week, we stopped right about at this area here. I want to just jump into this point here where it says, kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. We find out if you do some looking at these things, it's an interchangeable type phraseology there, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's a God's rule, basically, though, of grace in the world, a future period foretold by the prophets of the Old Testament and identified by Jesus as beginning with his public ministry. You know, John said the kingdom of God is here. Jesus came and said the kingdom of God is here now. And so we find that happening. But it's at the beginning of his public ministry. But also the kingdom of God is the experience of blessedness like that of the Garden of Eden, where evil is fully overcome and where those who live in the kingdom know only of happiness, peace, and joy. I hope that you are experiencing that here. You're not going to wait until you get into the kingdom of heaven, in heaven, you know, to say, well, now I'm going to have peace and joy and hope. You've got it here if you reach out and grasp it, if you reach out and understand it, and if you walk in the things that Jesus brought to us. You know, we'll find out as he was sharing when Jesus came and he did miraculous things, casted out demons, raised the dead, healed the sick, opened the eyes, opened the ears. He did so many things. And do you not think when he was doing those things, those people didn't realize that the kingdom of God is near? So that wasn't something like out there. It was right there where Jesus was. And that's what we'll find out a little bit more. But we find out that I believe and I hope and I trust that we are walking into this to where we know that the kingdom of God is here where we're at right now, and we can walk in these areas of benefits of happiness and joy and peace and comfort and so many things. When John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," Matthew 3:2, it was astonishing to those around them at the time. And so let me just kind of jump off in that area there. In Matthew 3:2, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying this, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." There was such a powerful song, I think back in, I don't know, 98 or in the late 90s of Ron Canole, I think. And it was, "We believe that the kingdom of God is here." Man, I tell you what, you put that soundtrack on and you just listen to that, and if that doesn't pump you up, I don't know what will. You know, "We believe that the kingdom of God is here among you." You know, the dead rise, the blind see, the whatever, you know, it just goes on. And it was showing and singing all the things that would be transpiring because of the kingdom of God. So it's good. Say the kingdom of God is good. Amen. That's like it's good to be happy. I hope you're happy about that. Don't be, you know, sticks on the log or, you know, knots on the log like, "Oh, well, just the kingdom of God, no big deal." It is a big deal because it's God, you know, and what he desires for us to have on this side of heaven. We are not to be doom and gloom and despair and, "Oh, agony and me," you know. And it's all these things that you'd hear on some songs at times. It's to walk with your chest out. It's to walk with your head up. Amen. As kingdom kids, as children of God, that even though you're facing difficulties, even though you're facing sometimes the news that you don't ever want to hear, I hope and pray that we can raise our head up and say, "But with God, all things are possible, and my God is with me, and if he is with me, who can be against me? And greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I don't care what the world tells me. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the banker tells me. I don't care about these things. My God will help me." Now you know, you got to use wisdom, and you got to, you know, you can't just keep going out and getting broke and broke and broke, and the bank's going to come knocking and say, "But God will take care of me." You know, there's wisdom in that. But when you're doing everything right, and bad things are going to happen to good people, do you think that happens? Happens all the time. Bad things happen to people that are Christian, that are God-fearing, that are God-followers, that are Christ-followers. There's still bad things that happen. But it's how we handle those situations as to where do we think we're at in that kingdom life. I mean, if I'm going to wait for the kingdom of those things when I'm, you know, my body is in the ground and my spirit's up there, well, that's well and good, you know, and I'm going to enjoy that. But I believe you'll get up there, and what would happen if my God says, "You know, Tim, you could have had a lot better life down there had you just really believed and trusted that my kingdom was down there too." Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So we got that power and with that ability. But anyway, we're looking at this as John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Quickly, little side notes here. To what does the kingdom refer to? It refers to God's sovereign rule in the universe. He is the king of the heavens. But more specifically here, it refers to the entry of God's long-anticipated anointed one, which was going to be who? Jesus. The Messiah, the promised son of David, who would not only be the Savior, the Deliverer, and the King of Israel, but he would be that for all of mankind. You know, if we were reading this story and we thought, well, wow, those guys, I wish I lived back then because look at the Savior they had. Look what Jesus did for just those people back then. I was born in the wrong century, you know. But no, it's for all mankind. For you that sit in the chairs today, the same thing is for you that what Jesus was accomplishing back then. So we find out for all mankind, and you know, you don't even have to be Jewish. It's for the Gentiles as well. For all nations, all flesh, were promised recipients of this hope, declaring the kingdom at hand that is drawing near. John was announcing that the rule of God's king was about to overthrow the power and the rule of all evil, both human and hellish. The kingdom was near because the king was here, Jesus. Hallelujah. John is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So his presence introducing the power of the kingdom of God meant a new world of potential hope to mankind. Man would no more need to be held hostage to the rule of death over mankind, resulting from human sin and then sinning, or to be the deadening rule of oppressive human systems, political or otherwise. There was a change going to take place, amen, when Jesus came to fulfill it. Back in Sunday school, 1 Peter, first chapter, Tracy was sharing, and it said, even though before it was foretold, before the foundations of the world were laid, that there was someone ready to come, and God had already prepared that to take place, even though before he spoke this whole thing into existence, before the sin took place in the garden, before the tree was rooted in the ground, before everything of the foundation was even begun, God already pre-planned out and knew that the Messiah was going to be coming. It's going to be a few years, but it didn't catch God off guard when the sin developed within the garden. We've said that before. When that happened, God didn't hit his forehead and going, boy, did I make a mistake there. What did I do wrong? He already knew it was all going to take place. He knows what's going to take place in your life tomorrow. Amen. The next minute. You know, that's God. That just kind of like, does it stop and make you just stop for a little bit and go, and go like, wow, he knows. I don't know, but he knows. But that's where we want to say, Lord, I need the mind of Christ. I want your mind, Lord. I want to be able to hear from you so that I walk in the area that you have planned out for me. Because even though he's got my path planned out, how many know that I have can turn my path into something else? Free will, my desire. Sidetracked by the cares and the life of this world. I got to do what I want to do now, and then I'll get back on your path. I want to have fun now, and then I'll get back with you. I want to take care of this and do my thing, then I'll get back with you. We can do those things. He gives us that free will. It's that ability to say, well, when I do go to God, and when I come to him through Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to come to him, and I'm going to love him and be with him because of what he's done for me, and I'm going to do it because I willingly come to him. I'm not twisted and forced to come to him. Anyone here been forced to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? As a follower of Christ, you will be forced to deny him, to denounce him. You know that time's coming, right? Whenever, I don't know when. I trust it'll be when I'm out of this place and sitting there up in heaven and enjoying greater things. But we never know. So you're never forced with a gun to your head saying, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you will have probably a gun to your head saying, oh, you're a Christian? Denounce him as your Lord and Savior. And guess what? You've got a free will to decide what you're going to do at that time. Hopefully we're spirit-filled up and we're powered up with that of the Holy Ghost. And we will not denounce him, that we'll say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I forgive you for the sins that you're doing, and even if you cut my head off or shoot me between the eyes, I forgive you. God loves you. That's a heavy thing to be able to try to say that's what you're going to do, and will we do it? I don't know. We hope we can have that strength. We hope we have that internal power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen being stoned, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus hanging on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. John being boiled in oil, forgive them. All these things, whenever they came into adversity and things were being trying to draw what was happening is the world, the devil was trying to draw the kingdom out of them because the kingdom was within them. Amen? So the kingdom was within. They're trying to take the kingdom out by killing them, by denouncing the kingdom, by denouncing God. And when you do that, then you're out there in the world's mire. So that's the struggle that we have, and it's going on even today spiritually out there. But it's interesting, guys, that we call this is all a spiritual war, a spiritual thing, and that's what it is. We're not fighting against flesh and blood and powers and principalities. We're fighting into the spiritual realm of these things, but yet we see it evidently in the flesh. Because we're hearing and seeing stories, because of TV nowadays, how distraught it is to see 50 or 60 men lined up with young 12 and 15-year-old kids behind them with a gun, and ISIS says, shoot them. And these kids that are 12 and 13 and 14 are standing behind these men, and they shoot them in the head. They're following the devil, you know. They think it's a religion. It is. It's a hellish religion. And so we are seeing that really work out in the actual things that we see happening, but the thing and the power that we're dealing with is really in that supernatural, it's in that spiritual realm that we're dealing with these things. And where do we get our power from? We get our power from God through that of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power that we will have. But we've got to have an understanding that that power is within us because it's the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is with me. The kingdom of God is around me. If I'm a child of God, if I'm a follower of Christ, if I'm a disciple, if I'm mirroring what Christ did, then I believe that the power and the presence of the Spirit or of the kingdom is going to go with me. It's not something that we leave here on Sunday morning when we go home. I hope not. If you do that, you're going to be beaten up and just have a rough week. You know, if you leave the power of God, if you leave the presence of God, if you leave God here and say, I'll be back next Sunday, God, see you then at 9:30 or 10:30, whenever I get there, you will have a terrible week. You got to take that kingdom with you. You got to walk in that kingdom. It's almost like a force field around you. You know? How far out will that force field go? Well, we know force fields are only go as far as the power that they exhibit that you will turn on. The higher the power of the force field, it goes out further, right? You know, the electronics and the electricity and the sound waves. Well, just think of that as the kingdom of God, as the power is within me, as my strength comes from God, the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm going to go through situations, I'm going to go through things that are very hurtful and hard to deal with at times, but if I can just turn up that power within me and just create a force field around me of the power of God, then I believe I'll be okay. How about you? I believe I'll be able to handle what comes my way. It's only when we don't walk with God, it's only when we go out on our own that generally we have our lunch eaten. When we go out there, and I'm not saying going out there and even look for the devil. I never go out looking for the devil. I go out looking for God. I go out looking for God in the things that I see in nature. I go out and look for God in the things that I come across, and I want to see him in the smallest little details of the things that I'm a part of. I don't need to go out and look for the devil. The devil will cross my path now and then. The devil will try to trip me up. The devil will try to create little thoughts in my head. And those are the times that I come against that by the power of God, by the Spirit within me, to get thee behind me, Satan. And then I go on to greater and better things with God. But you got to tell the devil where to go. Yeah, tell him where to go. I hope that's what we will gravitate or get out of or pull for or get into with this understanding of this kingdom concept. And there's a lot of discussions out there and a lot of backs and forth and things of, you know, religion and stuff like that of the kingdom and what is the kingdom and is it here and is it in heaven? Is it part here? Is it part there? And all that. But all I know is when John said that and then when Jesus says that, and if I'm walking with the Holy Spirit in me because Jesus left and he says the Spirit will now be with you and lead you and guide you, I have to trust and believe. And I know that the kingdom of God is with me. When you go into a situation, I know that the kingdom of God is with me. You go to visit someone in the hospital and things aren't going well, or they're just there for a basic whatever, I know that I go with the kingdom of God with me and in prayer and being able to turn things over to God in the Spirit and that, let thy will be done, Lord. I'm just going to be the messenger. I'm just going to go there and show love or show that, you know, care or to show whatever it might be. And if nothing else, just friendship, but say, hey, let's pray about it and let's just lift it up to God. Let God have his way. Amen. So today we understand that, today we need to understand as well regarding the kingdom of God and how we can, how it will impact our lives. We have to understand it, but we need to know that the kingdom of God will impact your life. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that the power and the kingdom of what God is about, that it's going to impact your life? It will, if you allow it to. As we read through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you know, they focus on the present aspect of the kingdom of God. It also is clear that the kingdom will be realized perfectly when the second coming of Christ does come. And then you talk about the kingdom. Woo! There will be a kingdom come. There will be a kingdom come that it'll just, the world has not seen it. You know, it was like the first time when Jesus stepped into the flesh and did things here. They didn't understand what it was all about. They didn't understand this person, how he could have the power to do this. How could he raise the dead? He was doing it by the power of the devil. They made up all these things because they didn't understand it. But he knew it and he understood it. And even some of his followers, John knew it when John said it there. John was already ahead of everybody, wasn't he? John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we're going to get into this. Let's look at when and where of the kingdom. Now, John preached it was near in 3:2. So we've already touched that already. And then you can go over to 4:17, but it says here, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But I'm going to jump into Mark 1:15. Let's just go into Mark 1:15. And it says here that Jesus is beginning his Galilean ministry. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom. The kingdom of God. And saying this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So here's Jesus in the red. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He did not attempt ministry without the Spirit's power. As we look at this, we find out that Jesus began to do these things only after he was baptized by John, right? And John had to baptize him, even though John said, I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, no, I need to do this and you need to do this so we fulfill what needs to be done. And so when John baptized him and the Spirit landed or came upon him or landed or came upon Jesus, by that like of a dove, we find out that is when he was then prepared to do the ministry that he was sent to do. And then there's the kingdom there. Boom, here I am. Now I'm going to do about my Father's business, the king. You know, hallelujah. So I'm going to go about and do this. So the time is fulfilled. So we find that Jesus did not attempt ministry without the Spirit's power. That is what we encourage people today. You know, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Ask to be filled, refilled, walk in the Spirit, have the Spirit to be with you. Because I'm going to tell you, without it, you're just dry. I don't know what you are. You're empty vessel. You know, you may have all the understanding and all the good stuff of this and that, but if you've got a, well, I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing, I don't know about being filled and all this type of stuff, and there's, you know, there's teachings into that, is once you receive, there's he fills you with the Spirit, and there's an enlightening there, and it begins to work within us. But we find out that, you know, Jesus, until he received the Spirit, he didn't do anything. So as we go out and do things now, we're Spirit-filled. We're born again, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Why? Hopefully, you will hear us periodically during songs or praise and worship up here say, Lord, refill us. Continue to fill us. Lord, we need to be topped off. We need to have more of you, Lord. We need to be walking to the point to where the Spirit just overflows and runs out from the top of our head like that of oil. To just flush over you. And it's just to be able to, because when you do that and have that, there is a power source there that we don't quite understand, but we do understand, but we just know that it's good to have. And then when we have that power, we can go forth and do things and speak things and, you know, as though they're not there, you know, by faith and things that we walk in. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk because we're filled with the Holy Spirit in us. And by the Spirit's leading, we know he guides us, he teaches us, he shows us these things. So like Jesus, he did not attempt ministry without the Spirit's power. He did insist that John baptize him, not for repentance, but because he knew the Holy Spirit would come upon him at that time. And from that time, he is led by the Spirit. He moves into the ministry. He's declaring the presence of God's kingdom and manifesting its miracles, its signs, and its wonders. The pathway points each believer to the need for power. If kingdom ministry is to be advanced through us, you need to have the kingdom power in you. If we're going to go and advance the kingdom of God, you've got to have something to give. You can't have empty words. You can't have idle thoughts. You can't have, well, you know, it's supposed to be like this is what I heard. No, you walk it out in that power. You walk it out in that kingdom concept to where you're a kingdom kid. Hallelujah. I think Pastor Hoblet at one time, I think his email was like kingdomkid.tycon.net or something like that. Kingdom kid. You know, we've got to understand that. You've got to put that title on you. And you put that on you, it kind of lets maybe, you know, the devil even to know. You know, like, oh, this is a kingdom child. Ooh, you gotta speak it out there. I am a child of God. I'm a child of the kingdom of the Most High. Glory. Now, you know, devil, you might want to deal with me. So be it, but when you do, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to deal with you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to turn you over to God because the battle's already been won. Jesus already died, took down into Hades, took the keys of Hades. He's up at the right hand of God the Father. He's interceding for me. I don't have to battle you, devil. You've been battled. You've been beat. And it's only when he can come and antagonize you or make you think that you are being beaten by him or that you have no power, he will just have your lunch. If you don't walk in the power of God and the kingdom of God and what God has put into you, the devil will have your lunch. But if you walk in the kingdom authority, if you walk in that power and speak things and prophesy and deal with these things in the name of God, what's going to happen? Good things. The battle's going to be his. So many of us want to do the battle ourselves. Some of us because it's just our nature. Some of us because we don't have that clarity of understanding of, I can have that kingdom power right where I'm at because I believe in Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus is in me. I received him. I received his death on the cross as cleansing blood to wash my sins away. I'm not walking in my righteousness. I'm walking in the righteousness of God. I'm walking in the holiness, but not my holiness. I'm walking in the holiness of God. All these things that God has for us are things that he has for us to give to us, and we've got to be willing to just receive them. Why do you not receive righteousness and holiness and the power from God? Why do you struggle against not receiving it? Why do you say, oh, no, not me? And then when you come into struggles and battles and things happen, you're beaten down and you're whipped. So we looked at Mark 1:15, how Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Or you could say, the kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe in the gospel. And of course, then after that, you know, he's receiving all that, and then he's been driven out into the desert place, you know. Immediately, just jump up to 12. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, look at that. Immediately, the Spirit, you know, the devil didn't drive him into the wilderness, did it? You know, we think, well, he came out of the water, he got the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and boy, that Spirit, that devil must be pretty powerful, because then he took Jesus into the desert. No. It says here that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, and that's when the temptations would come, and he was doing his thing with the devil. But he was walking in that authority, in that kingdom of who he was. You can do that. You can do that if you're a child of God. So look at this. Now, there's some parables that we could look at. Remember, we're kind of looking at where, let's begin with, you know, the when and the where of the kingdom of God, and let's just see how this, so we found out, you know, John spoke it, then Jesus comes into it, and he's saying it. Then we can look at Matthew 13, 11. In 13:11, and you go all the way to 52, you know, so it's basically, you know, the almost the whole chapter of 13, from 11 to 52. And these are parables. These are things describing to those around him the what the kingdom of God is like. We find in just a couple of areas here, just quickly, in the areas where the parable starts at 13:10, you read through this, and you will find that's an area there that the kingdom people have hearing ears. You've got to have ears to hear kingdom principles, kingdom power, the things of the kingdom. So you've got to listen. You've got to have ears. And then you drop over to 13:31, talks about the mustard seed. What that is going to show you there in that parable is it's the size of the kingdom that we're dealing with. It might start out small, you know, like that of a mustard seed, but as you allow it to develop, as you allow it to grow, what happens to that mustard seed? Grows into one of the largest things from what it starts from. So that's given us a definition of what is the size of this kingdom going to be like. And then we get into 44. It's going to help with what is the cost of the kingdom. So we've got to have ears to hear what the kingdom is. We've got to understand that this kingdom may start small, but it will advance, and it's going to take everything. Amen. The kingdom of God. And then we're going to find out that there is a cost to it. But the great thing is, you don't have to go to the bank and go to the ATM right now. You can't buy it. You can't work hard enough for it. You can't do any of those things, but there is a cost to it. So just quickly here in 13:11, it says, he answers to them, and this is the disciples had come to him, and why do you speak to them in parables? You know, and you go back up into the beginning of 13, and there's that great multitude that were gathered, and they're wanting to hear from him. Now in 10, the disciples are asking him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing that they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Parables help us understand the things of God. It really brings it to light to us, doesn't it? You know, and we can read these parables, and one of the first ones there talks about the sower explained, about, you know, the seed being, how do you relate to the Word of God? How do you relate when you're reading the Word of God and the Spirit drops things into you and you're reading God's Word and it is His Word? And then what kind of root is it going to take in you? So the sower is explained there. And how powerful of a message and a parable is that? Can you really understand that by reading it? You know, when seed falls along the road, can't take root, when the seed falls upon stone or something like that, and the sun scorches it, Or when it's sown among thistles and thorns, you know, it's taken away. It all is an insight to us as the power and the kingdom of God is spoken and shared to us, or we read it in here, the Word of God. It's going to depend upon what kind of soil it's put in. And you're the soil. Your heart's the soil. It's like, you know, as it's planted into you, how are you going to receive it? And it's going to be very important that you receive it in a way that it grows and it develops and it grows more and it continues to do that, and that it doesn't get choked out by the cares of this world, that it just doesn't, you know, hit you and you're like running 150 miles an hour for the things of God, and then, you know, after a while you can't sustain that, and pretty soon you get to the point to where it's like, well, I thought it was going to be better than this, and you just overshoot the whole thing and you just don't have staying power. Something happens. You know, you get into a situation, and we talk and we hear about how trials and tribulations are the testing of our faith, and persevering and helping those things to develop and grow in our faith to where we can stand strong. Sometimes when we hit the Word of God and we receive Him, you've got to be careful. Sometimes you have to watch those that receive Christ, and they are just going like pew, out there to a point to where it's like a bottle rocket. As fast as they go up, they come down. You've got to be cautious. And I'm not saying you can't be that way, but it's just you have to be cautious. You got to be careful that you're not somebody that receives the Word of God and you're such a slow person that the weeds and the thistles and everything kind of comes around it and chokes it out, because generally you will find that weeds and things of that nature, they grow faster than the grass. They seem to grow faster than the corn out there. That's why the farmers have to spray all kinds of things to keep, you know, the fields clear of weeds and different things that come up. I tell you what, this flashes back into me. I go out here in the parking lot and you can just see little dimples in the blacktop where there's weeds under there just trying to break through the blacktop. There's no water to say right there. There is no sun doing it. But there's something so strong in the tenacity of those weeds under the blacktop that they're saying, I'm going to break through this stuff. And they will. I go out there and stomp on them. You're not coming through. You're not. You just come through. I got my, you know, ground clearing stuff here. I'll spray it and kill you. A lot of it's brown out there. But it's the strangest thing to look at. And so we got to make sure that we have the watering of the Word. We got to make sure that we hear it. We got to make sure we read it. We got to make sure we meditate with God. We got to make sure we're in church. We got to make sure we may avail ourselves to, you know, a midweek Bible study or a Sunday morning adult class or something like that. Because I'm going to tell you, just Sunday morning at an hour and a half shot, maybe an hour, maybe 50 minutes, 45, you got to have more. There's got to be more. You got to have water. My goodness, you got to have watering of this Word. I lost track of thought where I was wanting before I went into all that. But, you know, seeing how these things happen and develop out there. Oh, even when the ground is parched, you don't have to have rain out there, but the one thing that's going to grow is weeds. Well, as we look at this parable of the sower and it's explaining these things, it's saying these things that, you know, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom in verse 19, okay, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away that was sown in his heart. This is he who's received the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is one who hears the word, he immediately receives it with joy, but yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, and for when tribulations or persecutions will come about because of the word, immediately he stumbles. How many people here realize when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you go tell a coworker or even a family member, they go, what did you do this weekend? What did you do Thursday night? Oh, I went to this service or at a church, and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. They're going to say, you're crazy. You can get persecution right then. Just as soon as you receive it, they're already making fun of you or saying, oh, you're going to be one of those. Oh, you're going to be, oh, how could you, as I knew when you were this and you did that in early life, you can't. Jesus ain't going to love you. God doesn't have a plan for you. You're headed the other way. So persecution will come quickly when the word is put in you, and you got to be ready. And then when that happens, you'll stumble, because sometimes that person's voice will be louder and it'll resonate in your mind more, thinking like, well, gosh, maybe Bob was right. Maybe, you know, I did go up and receive. I felt joy and all right away, and I felt good. But, you know, now it's like 3 days later, and I really don't have that same euphoria. And now he's saying that can't be. Maybe they're right. So all of a sudden, that persecution, those things come to us, and we lose it. And then it talks about that, and then you stumble. Immediately he stumbles because of the word. 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But then 23, he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Then he goes on about the parable of the wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven in 24 is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among them, and they went their way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And of course, they said, should we go out and tear them out? And he says, well, no, because you'll take out the good with it. Just let it go. In verse 30, let them both grow until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So that was times of thinking of the kingdom, where you have to have ears to hear. You've got to be listening to understand, you know, the kingdom there. Now we're saying, okay, I'm in the kingdom of God. Well, how big could this kingdom be? Is it just me? Is it just you? Well, it says this way. Another parable he put forth to them, he says this. The kingdom of heaven is like that of a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and they nest in the branches. Something so finite, and many of us have seen a mustard seed. Pretty small, aren't they? It's like, what in the world is that, you know? But look what happens. And then he talks about this. Remember, this is the size. So we find out that when that kingdom just begins to work within you, that it has that potential, if you allow it and work within it, to develop and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it says, well, what about this? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven in verse 33, which is a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. So what happens when you put that into that? What happens to the meal? And what it begins to go from this to what? It expands, doesn't it? How many have ever had that, what do they call that bread? Friendship bread? Is that one of the names where somebody comes and gives you this little container and it's got this glob of stuff and they go, here, take this, it's yours. Baby it, watch it, put it in the refrigerator. I don't know what you do with it. I don't know, the refrigerator or something, I don't know. And then it grows. All of a sudden that little lump just goes, whoop, and you can make bread. And it's like a never-ending source, right? Is this like something that just keeps going, like that goes and goes and goes? And then you take a clump of it and you give it to a friend. Friend, you're my friend. Here's some bread that'll never stop growing. It's got leaven. It's got stuff in it. It's got those things in it that just keeps growing and developing. And one thing takes off to another and it all works together. That's what the kingdom of God is. You know, if we can go out and just give a little bit to you and give a little bit to you, and that means by just talking about the kingdom of message of Jesus, amen. You know, we don't have to get them into the depths of the kingdom. We just need to come and say, would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, or you're talking about relationship and things are happening and they're saying, well, how can you be this? How can you be happy? How can you be content? How can you be this? Because, man, I tell you what, 20 years ago when I received Christ as my Lord, things really happened and changed in my life. Really? Well, can I have that too? Yes, you can. All I've got to do is introduce them to the kingdom, Jesus. Okay, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just confess, you know, we know the whole thing. And allow that to be planted into that person, and it's going to be like that of the mustard seed. It's going to be like a little bit of leaven that we put in them, and if they allow it to grow, allow it to develop, what's going to happen? It's going to develop into greater things for them, and they're going to see that kingdom just expand within. How big is the kingdom inside you today? It's a good question. How big is the kingdom of God in you? What do you think you can do with that kingdom of God that's within you? You just kind of keep it to yourself? I'm going to, you know, be like that one person that, ooh, the talents that were given, like, ooh, but look, you gave me this and I knew you wanted it back, so I just buried it. Here it is. You got to give it. You got to walk it. You got to share it. You got to expand it. And then we get into, and we're not going to have a lot of time as we kind of wrap this up here just a little bit. And I want to try to keep this. This is when and where the kingdom of God is. So we're looking at it. It's in parables. Jesus shares about it in the parables, about what the kingdom is like, what it's like. The cost of the kingdom, quickly, he gets into that in 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is the, like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking a beautiful pearl. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold it, that he had bought it, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. He went and sold all that he had to buy that one pearl because it was so big, so wealth, of full of wealth and what it would be a part of. That's what the kingdom of God is like. You know, are you willing to, you know, give the world away, turn from the world's riches, and give all that up to be able to sit there and say, but the kingdom of God is the richness that I want? Now, it's not to say, you know, you don't have a house and you don't have all these things. It's not like that unless God tells you to give those away. I've heard stories, you know, where people have been in those type of situations and they said, you know, the Lord just told me to give this away and give that away, give this car, whatever the case might be. It happens. But you got to be part of that. That's part of that kingdom stuff. That's that where you're willing to say, you know, I don't have, this stuff doesn't have me. I've got it. And when I feel impressed by the Lord to give it away or to do whatever, it doesn't have mine. I can, here, be blessed. Here it is, you know. But it just shows you that there is a cost of the kingdom. And then I want to get to, as we wrap this up quickly, in Luke 7. If I looked in Luke 7, 18 to 22, Luke 7, 18 to 22, it says, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to say to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Verse 21, in that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The kingdom came near. The kingdom came near. Jesus. Go back to where we started this. Mark 1:15, Jesus preached, the kingdom of God is here now. I'm here. I'm going to fulfill what I'm to do. And where he went and did about, now he didn't do very well in his hometown, but in other places that he went to, we found out. And so we find out there's that power, the understanding. That's why understanding of the kingdom authority, the kingdom power, the kingdom ability, that with that within us, now there will still be times of sicknesses, there will still be times of illnesses. I don't have an answer as to why, You know, God bless, you know, there's people that are kingdom people and they still may pass away from a disease of this life. I don't understand that, you know, but you've got to keep strong and understanding, but it's all in God's hands, and whatever God wants, I'm going to give it to him, and I'm going to be strong in it. I'm going to understand that it's not for me, Lord. I just want you to receive the glory. You know, and if it's going to be because of this, Lord, receive the glory. If it's because of I get this, I give you the glory. Hallelujah. So we've got to be willing to understand that even though we go through hard times and sad times on this side of heaven, even though we stand here and say, but I'm a child of God, I'm part of the kingdom, I'm a kingdom kid, you know, the kingdom of God is within me and around me and I walk in that power, you know, crazy things could happen. I could go out there and get hit by a bus. You go, my God, what happened to that guy? He just was preaching about the kingdom. And that there's a force field around him. And he was protected. What happened? I don't know. Ask God when you get up there. Because I'll probably ask him too. Hey, God, what happened? Did I miss something? But even though I die, he shall live. Even though I may not succeed in what I think I could accomplish and all, but if I do my best and put the best foot forward and never give up and never look back, I know that, you know, whatever comes out of this, Lord, in my life, I want you to have that glory. I want people to look at us or me to see you. And I may have struggled, I may have had some situations, but Lord, I want to be true, and I just want people to know that I love you, Father. You know? And that's even being part of the kingdom. When you're part of the kingdom to where you have a realization and a rest and a peace and an assurity, that is a strength that the world doesn't have. And so even though you go through situations, my goodness, I've talked to people in hospitals that were followers of Christ for decades, and it's their time to go, and they say, my verse is, you know, I ran the race, I finished the course, you know, and now I'm going to go home. Hallelujah. To a much better place, because we're all passing through this temporal. We're sojourners in this place, and it's just is a benefit to us if we can make, while we're here, the best of the time. While we're here, make whatever you can imprint upon this time, not for your glory, not for your life, not for your ability, but when people look back and say, you know, there's people in my life that have gone on to be with the Lord, and I can call them by name and say, this person, he or she was such a servant of God. They went through trials and things, and they lost this and that, and they were bankrupt, and they did that, but they came back, and they bounced back, and they gave the glory to God, and they still lived, and they still functioned, and they were still a part of the power of the kingdom of God in their life. And now they're in the glory land. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's being able to have that kingdom of understanding to say, whether I'm here, I'm going to be around in the kingdom. I'm going to be doing kingdom things, you know, praying for the sick, praying for the weak, praying for those or whatever, and realizing that the touch of God is what it takes to raise them up. Amen? But we've got to be there to do that. If we're not there, who does? If we don't be that part, if we don't play the part that we're to play, who will do it? Send me, Lord. You know? If it wasn't for me, and it's not to boast, it's not to be prideful, but if that's what it takes, Lord, to bring you honor, to get your message across, to get your message further out there, to build this kingdom even more, send me, Lord. Praise God that we've got the Shelleys and we got the Nates and we got the Eds out there and many others that go into the mission field and go out there and do that. Hallelujah. Next week, we'll take a look at some areas here, but